The following is an Auburn Network production.
You are on the line. Live on ESPN 106.7. Auburn Opelika's sports leader. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app. To be on the line, call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. You are on the line with Jacob Goetz and Carter Bird.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Happy Wednesday, everybody. It's a beautiful day outside. Not a cloud in the sky. Sun is shining. It's a beautiful day here in Auburn, Alabama. Hope you're all doing well. Midway through the week, we are getting closer and closer to the weekend. Boy, do we have a show on tap for you today. We've got some new Auburn information to talk about, and it's some juicy information we're going to be talking about here today. We know you've seen it. We know you've heard of it. We know you've been reading about it, but if you haven't, we're going to get into it in just a second. Jacob Goetz, Carter Bird, with you for the next 2 hours here on the Line, the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. Carter, how are you today, man?
I'm good, man, but do you smell that? Smells like something's burning.
Oh, God.
It's the Auburn football program right now.
Yeah, it is. There's some information that came out last night, and it's not good. It's not good. There's no other way to put it. We are going to get into that in just a moment. Phone lines are open today. We'd love to hear from you. 334-321-1390 is the number to put you through to us. What are your thoughts? What are your comments about this situation? We'd love to hear from you again. 334-321-1390. Later on in this hour, we're going to talk to Jordan Hill of Dogs 247, as we do every single Wednesday. We'll get his thoughts on the Georgia Bulldogs, kind of where they sit as they get prepared for Florida this weekend. We'll talk to him about Georgia, maybe previewing a little basketball as well. Jordan Hill of Dogs 247. But again, phone lines are open. 334-321-1390. And let's get right into it. Last night, Sports Illustrated Auburn Daily, they made a report and a story came out from a friend of a show of Lindsey Crosby. And, of course, we're good buddies with the people over at Auburn Daily. He made a report last night that Brian Harsin is telling people on the football team. Here's the quote, and here's the headline, right? It says, source: Brian Harsin is telling players that want to redshirt that they must enter the transfer portal or quit the team. Coach Harsin is reportedly refusing to allow players to take a redshirt without a medical reason. Lindsey Crosby, he posted that last night. He has since updated it with some of the comments from Brian Harsin in his press conference today. He had his usual Wednesday SEC teleconference, so Lindsey has updated that article, but this is bad. I mean, this is not what you wanted to see. This is not what I wanted to pop up on my timeline last night as I was just kind of hanging out. I did not expect something like this to come out. Carter, your initial thoughts on this report. Brian Harsin telling players that want to redshirt that they must enter the transfer portal or quit the football team.
It's really, really bad. It's not good. And it's tough to see that there are guys. When you look at guys like Landon King, who announced last night he would not be a part of the program anymore, he would be entering the transfer portal, he's somebody that wanted to redshirt. And if the going with the reporting here on Auburn Daily, it seems like that's the case, that's what happened, and he's been pushed out. And if that's the case, this is awful. Like, this is ruining the future of the roster.
It just doesn't make sense to me. Like, this report and this, if this is really happening, it doesn't make any sense that a head coach would go to his players that are looking to redshirt. And obviously, we all know what the requirements are to redshirt, right? If you appear in four games or less, you can take your redshirt, save your year of eligibility, no longer play throughout the season, and wait until next year, right? When people do that, Sometimes it's medical, right? If you've had surgery and you want to save your year of eligibility, you can redshirt and save it for next year. Sometimes players want a redshirt and they want to transfer. They want to go somewhere else and not lose that year of school and lose that year of playing football, basketball, whatever it may be. But right now, guys are trying to save their year for all of these reasons. Or maybe they just want to wait until next year with this situation to wait for a new football coach. But that's not allowed, I guess, at this point. Because Brian Harsin is telling them, if you want a red shirt, you either got to leave or you got to quit. And I just don't think that's the right message.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at the Landon King situation, it's fascinating to see some of the outcry against him. Because it doesn't make any sense to me, because the early reports were that he was not 100%. He was banged up. He was having some health issues, and that's why he wanted to redshirt. Well, now, I mean, if you're on these Auburn message boards, if you got people running the sites that are saying, look, he was asked to play, and he didn't want to play because he's taking a redshirt, and they kicked him to the curb, basically, and told him to get in the transfer portal, that's not the same messaging that we got on October 4th when it was announced he was going to take a red shirt. And also, I hate this perspective that is this old school, tough guy perspective that is, well, if coach tells you to play or leave, then like tough. Like if you're able to play, you gotta play. That's not the way college football works anymore. With the transfer portal, with the new red shirt rules, that's not how it works. And if you want to take it, this is not 1990 anymore. This is not 20, 30 years ago. The game, college athletics, is different from 4 years ago to today. We are in a new age. Things are different. You have to be able to adjust. And don't tell me, because I've seen this, don't tell me that, oh, well, the coach asked him to play because he needs him and the team needs him. When we're talking about Landon King, he didn't see the field after the Penn State game. He made the play of the game for Auburn in the Penn State game, and then you didn't put him out on the field again. You didn't target him. Don't tell me you need him now, after you mismanaged him all season long. That is bogus. That is, at best, just ignoring the context of this situation. And why are we blaming, because there's plenty of Auburn fans doing this, why are we blaming the players, the kids on the team, for taking more action to protect their future, to protect their season, to protect themselves, than the university is, than the athletic department is? Because why are you going to force them to play for a truly lame duck coach that is not going to be here in 2023 when they are trying to protect eligibility for next season? Like, Auburn has allowed this to happen, and it's creating a mess. And that's why you've had two guys officially leave the team this week. Two guys who've had their profiles on the roster or wiped, basically. I mean, it's starting to add up. And I don't think it's going to stop.
I don't think so either. And this is not new information, guys redshirting, transferring, leaving the team. We've seen this. We've seen guys already do this, and we were hearing some of the smoke that this may be the case.
And don't tell me that Landon King doesn't want to be a part of Auburn.
Right. Right.
When did he sign? He signed. He committed to Gus Malzahn. Gus Malzahn gets fired. He signs with Auburn without a head coach.
Mm-hmm.
He loves Auburn. Listen to him talk about Auburn.
Read what he wrote last night.
I know Landon. I know how he feels about Auburn. Don't tell me that this is a kid that's angry about not getting his playing time, he's taking his ball and going home. I don't think that's what's happening here. I think he was trying to redshirt to stay at Auburn.
I think so. I think he falls in that group, and I know so. He falls in that group of players that they went through the weird transition of Malzahn to Harsin. They've stuck around when Harsin went through everything back in February. Landon King is in that group of players that is playing for Auburn, or was playing for Auburn, because they loved Auburn. They were sticking through it because they love Auburn. They love the school. They love the program. They love the people. And now he's getting punished for that. And I just don't think that's right. And I've got a lot more on this.
By the way, of the 18 players that signed in the 2021 class.
This stat's crazy right here.
In the 2021 class. So the half the class signed when there was no head coach. Really over half the class signed when there was no head coach. And then a few signed under the Harsin tenure. Of the 18 guys, 9 are left. 9. That's 2 classes ago. That's insane.
They're gone. They left. They're not here anymore.
And a lot of those guys are the guys who signed when there was no head coach, and they came to Auburn for Auburn.
Which shows you where this program is right now. Again, I've got a lot more on this, but we have got to get to the phone lines. 334-321-1390. Eric, you're on the line. Welcome in.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Just listen to you for the last few minutes, and I do have to agree with you that this is not the 1990s, but, you know, that's part of the problem, is that it's not the 1990s, and these players are a lot different. They act different. It's like if they don't get their way, you have to coddle them, or they're going to call their mama. And in this case, I'm not saying that this guy is wrong, because if he was hurt and you want to keep him on the team, then you need to redshirt the guy. But some of these guys are just getting upset and leaving. Now, I don't like this idea, what Harsin is doing. Have we heard this from Harsin? Is this really came down from Harsin, or is this a rumor?
Well,
I don't like it either. A lot of these players, they don't get playing time. They call their mom, and then they enter the transfer portal. So you're right. A lot of these kids are coddled, and they're a bunch of babies anymore. And now with the NIL thing, they'll just go to another school that'll pay them more and hopefully get more playing time. But I don't like the idea if this is truly happening, because he's going to lose a lot of players and he doesn't have a lot to lose.
Yeah,
so
well,
is this an official Auburn word or just rumor?
So this is a report. It was on Auburn Daily,
report by Auburn Daily,
which is a Sports Illustrated site, and they have a source that was telling them this information. And Harsin had his weekly SEC teleconference today. He has it every Wednesday.
And he said he didn't know what they were referencing.
Right. He was asked about it and basically said no comment type of thing. Said he didn't know, but this something like this doesn't come out unless it's true, in my opinion. This is one of those things where when there is evidence of guys leaving for specific reasons, and somebody like Landon King to redshirt or to try to redshirt and then end up having to transfer out because of all of this, it's very, very believable.
And Auburn's not going to put out like a press release saying, hey, we are kicking guys off the team that want to redshirt. They aren't going to say that.
Right. And so to kind of go to your point about with players nowadays and where the game is, the transfer portal and NIL, because you did mention that as well, that has all fed into when players are not happy with their current situation and not getting the playing time they wanted, or not maybe they just show up and they realize, okay, this isn't what I thought it was going to be. You're right. They do have that option to kind of go another way almost immediately if they want to. It's completely different than 5-10 years ago in college football and college athletics. I think there's arguments for both sides. I understand what you're saying, talking about, you know, if you're not happy, they're able to just turn and run type of thing. But I also think it's good for a lot of these athletes to be able to say, you know, this just isn't working for me. This isn't what I want. This isn't what I need. And I have the chance to go and do this somewhere else. I think that's really, really important.
I also fundamentally disagree with the idea that the Landon King situation is an instance of he's coddled and he's leaving for NIL money elsewhere. I don't think that's what's happening.
No, and I didn't say that either.
I'm talking about this one specific instance.
Right. Now, again, I don't know if he was injured and he's waiting, you know, to get healthy again. But I think if you're on the team, you're on the team. You play one game, you play 10 games, you play 5 games. If you're needed, you need to step up and play, no matter if you're worried about your red shirt or not.
Right, but the problem, in my opinion,
his case, I don't know if he was injured and sitting out and waiting until next year or what. Again, I don't know.
I don't think he was hurt. They just weren't using him.
The October 4th report said he was having some health issues. He was trying to get back to 100%, and that's why he was going to redshirt. And yet he still, it appears, based on the report on Auburn Daily, that he falls under this category of guys that are getting kind of squeezed out.
Yeah, and I don't agree with him squeezing guys out. Just say, if you're waiting to redshirt, just transfer now. Again, I'd like to wait and hear official word from Parson. I'd like him to officially say that. Just not hear so. Just not at Sports Illustrated, whoever.
Mm-hmm.
I'd rather hear something official before I jump the gun.
Right. Well, we'll see if Harsin makes further comments about it. He hasn't yet. Eric, we got to get to another call. We appreciate it. It's good to hear from you.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Yep, that is Eric joining us on the line. Let's get to Ed before we get to the break. Ed, you're on the line. Welcome in, man.
Hey, guys. I just wanted to give my, chime in on what you're saying. And first off, I agree with exactly what Jacob, what y'all have been saying. And it's not just this year. It goes back to last year. It even goes back to Bo Nix. Bo Nix left because, Brian Harsin wanted to do things his way. It's my way. There is no plan B. There is no plan B. Do you hear me? That's what he told everybody. And all I think Bo and his dad were kind of asking for was Cliff Kingsbury be given a really hard look. I think I got that name right. The guy that was at FSU that followed Bo up to Oregon.
Oh, you mean Dillingham?
Dillingham, yeah. Kenny Dillingham, yeah. But that's what I heard. That he wanted him to be considered, and that's why. But other than Nick, a lot of the other players that left because Harsin let him know he didn't need him. This is my way. This is plan. There is no plan B. And now midstream of this year, and y'all know also, I've been calling. I've told you many a time. I wish they would have let him go last year in December. That was my opinion. You could see just from recruiting, and you could just see that it was not going to work. But after, he played his pets, and, some of the guys that he's playing now, it's not their fault, But all year we've known that there have been players that were better than the ones that are getting the reps that, and now the year's almost over and they're looking at a lost season. No, they do not owe, Harsin, now he's trying to go to a play. He's trying to create a plan B midstream, and he's asking these players to step up when they haven't been getting the reps. They haven't, if everybody that hadn't played a game, just said, hey, I'm going to redshirt, that's enough of this. But it's just, they're wasting a year, and it should have happened way earlier. But it's Harsin's fault.
Yeah. Well, look, Ed, I think Harsin is in a situation now where he's realizing, oh, crap, what are we going to do type of thing. Hey, man, look, we really appreciate hearing from you. We got to get to a break. We're going to address your call on the other side, all right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, we appreciate Ed calling in and Eric as well. We got to get to a break, but we are going to address what Ed was talking about and give some more thoughts on this situation. We'd love to hear from you. 334-321-1390. More of On the Line when we come back.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502.
Back here on the Wednesday edition of On the Line, Jacob Goins, Carter Bird with you on ESPN 106.7, 334-321-1390. We'd love for you to join in on the conversation. Addressing Ed's phone call, because we had to get to the break, addressing what Ed was talking about, he's right. Harsin, when Brian Harsin was hired at Auburn, he came in And he basically said, it's my way or the highway. Brian Harsin has a way. He had a way he wanted to run this thing. It's how he's always run programs. And he came in and he wanted to do that at Auburn, right? And at the time, I was one of the people that said, you know, I like that. That's good. Maybe Auburn needs something like that. And then we saw the player fallout, right? We saw just tons of players from Auburn. Big names from Auburn, by the way.
After year one, you led the country in transfers. You had 19-plus transfers.
Exactly. You had a bunch of players leave, and the argument was, and the discussion was, who's in the right, right? Which group of players are you siding with? The ones that are staying?
It was widely chalked up as he was setting the culture.
Right, and that's sort of what I'm getting to, is the argument in the conversation was, well, which group of players are you on? Or what side are you on? The ones that are staying and sticking it out with Auburn? And this, again, this was at the time now. The ones that are sticking with Auburn, or the ones that didn't want to be with Harsin, didn't want to, quote, do the work, didn't want to be in the new regime, whatever it may be, and the ones that left Auburn. And a lot of people were dissing those players for leaving, right? A lot of people said, you're ditching Auburn. Okay, you didn't want to fight through it. You didn't want to do it this guy's way. Go and leave. Do whatever, right?
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And you and a lot of people backed up the players that stayed because they were sticking with their head coach, sticking with Auburn, right? Because Brian Harsin has a way. He's going to do it his way. Win or lose is what we're finding out now. Well, fast forward to this report in this situation we're talking about right now. Look at those players that left. Did some of them leave because they didn't like Harsin and didn't like the changes he was making? Yeah, sure. And they probably were in the right. But the players that stayed were also right. But now they're getting put in a bad spot because Brian Harsin is now saying, and if these players are realizing, okay, maybe this is not a place I want to be, or maybe I just want to save myself a year until this guy's gone because this ship is sinking, now he's making them leave the program. Making them transfer, making them quit, that's not okay. It's not okay. No. And there's players like Tank Bigsby and Landon King who are at Auburn, or now were at Auburn, for Auburn. And they came back after all the crap went down in February. They came back and they said, we're going to fight this thing through. We're going to fight, we're going to play for Auburn because we love it. I bet they're regretting it now.
You want to talk about Tank Bigsby? I promise you, Tank Bigsby is not on Auburn's roster next year because he's given Auburn three chances, and Auburn's failed him three times with giving him an offensive line that can block for him. And I doubt he's going to give Auburn a fourth chance. But back to this, kind of addressing Eric's call when Eric was talking about the nature of college football, collegiate athletics right now, where if you don't get your playing time, you're kind of coddled and you can transfer for NIL money, transfer somewhere else for playing time. That happens. That absolutely happens. And it's happened at Auburn. I look at basketball and I looked at Justin Powell. I mean, that's the best example.
Great example.
He's now that he's at Washington State, I believe that's seven schools in 7 years dating back all the way through high school. But I don't view this as that. I view this as kids who saw that they weren't getting any playing time. Yes, that's true. They weren't being used. And so I view this as they said, okay, I can protect myself, protect a year of eligibility. I can redshirt, save a year, and be ready to go in the spring. I firmly believe that is more of what some of these kids had in mind. And I think they're being told they can't do that, which is wrong in my mind. Because if you're not going to use them, let the kid protect himself and get his year of eligibility back. And don't tell me Auburn needed Landon King. Landon King barely played. Don't tell me Auburn needed Za'Kavius Walker. I mean, actually, Auburn does need Za'Kavius Walker, but Auburn doesn't use Za'Kavius Walker. We saw five defensive linemen play the entire game against Ole Miss. That tells you right there, like, if some of these kids want to go take a redshirt and protect themselves and their eligibility, I don't have an issue with that. I think that is a right that the player should have. I think that is smart and good on those players. If they're getting squeezed out, That is wrong, and it's ruining the future of this roster.
That's where college athletics is. This is not guys running away because they're not getting their way. This is guys trying to protect their future in college football. We're going to talk about this a lot more later on, but we've got Jordan Hill of Dogs 247 when we come back.
You are on the line with Jacob Goetz and Carter Bird on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
30 more minutes here in hour number one on the Wednesday edition of On the Line, the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. Jacob Goetz, Carter Bird with you on ESPN 106.7. Welcoming in our usual Wednesday guest, it's Jordan Hill of Dogs 247 joining us here on the phone lines. Jordan, it's got to be more peaceful and a little bit more calm over in Athens than it is in Auburn right now, right?
What are you referring to, Jacob? I'm not sure what you're talking about.
Oh, I forgot you don't cover Auburn, so you may not be as tapped in. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, I think you know what may be going on over here.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. My Twitter was blowing up last night. And, you know, I knew I would have a busy week because, you know, this is Florida, you know, Georgia, Florida. I can't say that wrong. People get upset. It's Georgia, Florida in Athens. Getting ready for that big game. But, yeah, no shortage of stuff to talk about and all.
Well, man, I think it's only fair that we have and we get your thoughts on this situation over here before we start talking about Georgia. With the report coming out of Brian Harsin squeezing players out of this Auburn football program, you were over here for a long time covering Auburn. What is your thoughts about what's happening here in Auburn, Alabama?
You know, it's just, to me, the latest of what's just been a very bad run, a very bad few weeks and months as far as, you know, things that have come out of the program. You know, I think there's been plenty you can criticize Brian Harsin for. You know, there was a lot of concerns, you know, back when in the spring there was the investigation. You know, a big part of that was so many players and also assistant coaches deciding to leave. So, you know, I think there was, you know, going back to that report, you know, I think there was some things that were unfair as far as some of the criticism thrown at Brian Harsin, but the fact so many players left was definitely a real concern. And, you know, nothing's gone his way in pretty much the time he's been at Auburn, especially, you know, really since about Halloween last year, about this time last year when they started 6-2. So, you know, not entirely shocked to see things break the way it is, but, you know, I think we all kind of understand how this thing is going to end. It's just a matter of time, in my opinion, before Harsin is no longer there at Auburn.
Jordan, kind of turning the attention from the dysfunction on the Plains to the, I guess, hyper-function in Athens. Coming off the bye week, kind of what's the temperature of this Georgia team? How are they feeling as they get ready for the home stretch of this season?
You know, it was really interesting to get a chance to talk to Stetson Bennett on Monday, and he talked about the offense. You know, that when they have been off, really Kent State, Missouri, and then probably that first half of really against Auburn, the things that were talked about were, well, we're missing on the little things. And I was really struck by Stetson talking about what did you guys do, you know, during the bye week. And he really talked about player accountability, about the players really leading the charge. So, you know, really sharpening things up, you know, getting synced in, figuring out what was holding them back. And you know, he talked about having to be willing to listen to criticism and having to adjust. It sounds like he was pleased with what he saw, and I think it did benefit the offense as well that he kind of got a little bit of a break. He's been dealing with a shoulder injury. He said he's feeling better after the bye week, so that was big. And, you know, I was really interested. Someone asked Kirby, and I think this was actually last week, about, you know, having any kind of concern about focus with the potential big, you know, probably top five matchup with Georgia and Tennessee next week. And Kirby really just said, not worried about it because Florida's coming up. And, you know, it's a rivalry that he talks to his players about a bunch. You know, he played through it. He knows, you know, probably the best part of him having played in it is he knows what it's like to walk out of Jacksonville with a loss. He understands what that thing is like. He's really made that clear to the players what this rivalry means. And just based on what we've heard from players this week, I think they understand that this is a really important game to this team and also to its fans.
We've got Jordan Hill of Dogs 247 joining us here on the Line. Jordan, as we look at the Georgia Bulldogs, as they are a little bit over the halfway point of this college football season, who are a couple of players on both sides of the football that maybe haven't had the year you thought they were going to that you could see turning it on here in the back half?
You know, statistically, there was a few games down the stretch there where we didn't see Brock Bowers do very much. But I think still, you know, going back to that South Carolina game where he has three touchdowns, I'm not saying he's going to have three touchdowns every game, but these games that are coming up, they're going to need to rely on their playmakers. They're going to have to get the ball. And offensively, you know, they really may be looking at some shootouts. So I think it's a situation where we're going to see Brock Bowers get more production, especially as we wait to see if A.D. Mitchell, the wide receiver, if he comes back. It still is not clear if he's going to be able to play against Florida. I think you're going to see Brock Bowers get more production as far as statistically and getting more targets. Then defensively, the guy that, to me, may be the key of what's left of the entire season is Mykel Williams, who's a true freshman out of Columbus. He's a guy that's made plays, but his stats aren't gaudy. I think he's got 8 or 9 tackles to this point, and he's been just like a tick off of getting a few sacks and really – creating pressure. And you look at the list of quarterbacks they're going to be playing these next few weeks. I mean, some of the best quarterbacks in the SEC, they need to get better pass rush. They have got to get at the quarterback. And to me, kind of starts and stops with Mykel Williams at defensive end. I think he's got a chance to show that he is worthy of, you know, a lot of the hype he got as a 5-star prospect when he signed with Georgia.
Kind of looking at these next 4 games, they really, each team, I think, is going to be almost completely different from the one before and how they're going to try to attack this Georgia defense. You've got Anthony Richardson with what he can do with his arm and his legs. Then you've got the deep passing game of Tennessee and then the true air raid of Mississippi State. And then Kentucky with Will Levis and Chris Rodriguez. How do you see this Georgia defense over this home stretch? Are they up to the challenge and the, I guess, different ways that these teams are going to attack them?
I think they are, but I do think that there's going to be tests. You know, I am really intrigued by what this Tennessee game looks like in 2 weeks, just because their cornerback play has been a little spotty at times. And, you know, Kelee Ringo was the hero of that national championship game, and he's coming off 2 weeks ago, a Vanderbilt game where he kind of struggled. I mean, he mistimed a jump that probably should have led to about an 89-yard touchdown for Vanderbilt. Receiver drops the ball and kind of bails Kelee out. Had a defensive pass interference, dropped at least one interception, maybe two, that he should have made. And then Kamari Lester is a guy that's been kind of hit and miss. He's given up some plays. That Missouri game, he had a couple plays thrown on him. And they've had other guys in the mix at corner like Daylon Everett. To me, that is going to be the test these next few weeks is how these corners play. But it is going to be really fascinating. You know, I think Anthony Richardson on Saturday, he's got an opportunity to make plays. You know, I really feel like Florida's issue when it comes to this matchup is just their defense and that they're not going to be able to contain Georgia enough. But these next few offenses Georgia's going to face, they're going to be able to make plays, and it's going to be a really good test. You know, there was a lot of talk early in the season, could this entire Georgia team be better than last year's? You know, a little premature, but this defense is really good. We'll see if they are able to follow up a really good first half by you know, keeping that pace in the second half.
Speaking with Jordan Hill of Dogs 247 here on the Wednesday edition of On the Line, as we look at this the Georgia-Florida matchup going on in Jacksonville this weekend, 2:30 CBS, one of the best games of the week. You can make the argument it's this one and Kentucky and Tennessee, but 2:30 CBS on Saturday. What can you tell us about this Florida team that Georgia's going to see on Saturday?
Well, you know, I think it's one that is significantly different than the one it faced last year, and I think that kind of starts with Anthony Richardson. You know, I asked Kirby Smart on Monday about Richardson, who was kind of thrown into the fire last year in that game, and when Georgia really took that game over, it was 3-0 well into the second quarter, and then, you know, interception, fumble, pick six, it kind of got the ball rolling. Not Anthony Richardson's best day, but, you know, Kirby said he's grown a lot since then. Chris Smith, one of Georgia's safeties, called him a physical specimen. He's a guy that's going to be able to make plays, and I think it's a situation where, you know, Georgia's been tested. I think that, you know, Richardson's ability to move is not new to Georgia. They faced a ton of dual-threat quarterbacks this year and, for the most part, held those guys in check. Again, to me, it's going to start and stop with Florida's defense. They have struggled so much. They've particularly struggled in stopping the run. I think this could be a very good opportunity for Kenny McIntosh. Sounds like Kendall Milton's going to be back. He's one of Georgia's backs that has been banged up. Dejon Edwards, some of those guys to really run the ball hard. It's very strange to see Georgia being a 22-point favorite against Florida. It's just not a very common occurrence. But I think, you know, Vegas is in this. They know what they're doing, and they're in it to make money. So to see Georgia as such a big favorite, I think that tells you the concerns about Florida's defense. And I think Florida's going to be able to make plays, but I just don't think Georgia's punter, Brett Thorson, is going to be out there very much on Saturday.
Jordan, obviously with this game being played in Jacksonville, that's turned into a really big storyline this week as Kirby Smart has made it clear that where he wants this game to be played, he wants it to go home and home. How do you see the future of this rivalry and where it's played? How do you see that playing out as we move into the future?
Yeah, it's something to watch for sure. You know, the two teams in the city of Jacksonville have an option that they could pick up for the next 2 years through 2025. And I think ultimately they'll probably do that. And then after that, it's totally up for grabs. You know, I would imagine after that happens, I'm just purely speculating on my part. I think it will go to a home and home. I think it's something that they see the opportunity. And I've made the comparison a couple times to the Iron Bowl. You know, the fact the game was played in Birmingham as long as it was, you know, I think if you were to kind of poll Auburn and Alabama fans now and say, hey, do you like the fact that this is a home and home now, or would you want to go back to Birmingham? I would imagine the vast majority of people are going to say we like it the way it is now, having the games in Auburn and Alabama. You know, I think that there is a real opportunity to have these games in Athens, to have these games in Gainesville. You know, I've heard from many of my beat writer friends over the years, I always ask, where's the loudest stadium? And it's often the Swamp, you know, along with Jordan-Hare is probably two most popular answers. I think that there is a really good opportunity for these teams to play these games in their respective cities and, you know, to be able to bring in recruits, to be able to host recruits whenever those are home games. The money in Jacksonville is really lucrative, and ultimately, you know, the money may win out. The city of Jacksonville may say, hey, this is worth, you know, upping what we pay these two teams. But the way things are looking, I would not be surprised if this game is going to start being played in the Swamp and in Sanford Stadium here in a few years.
That's a really good point about the recruiting aspect of this game if it were to be a home and home, because, yeah, you're right. They lose out on bringing recruits when Florida comes to Athens, and then Florida loses out on the opportunity when a potential number one Georgia team comes to the Swamp. That's a really, really good point. I never thought of it that way.
And it's funny, Kirby Smart was asked about it because this year they can essentially leave tickets in Jacksonville because Georgia is a designated home team. But someone asked, you know, basically, what is that going to look like? And Kirby was like, we can't talk to them directly. We can't, you know, meet with them. We can't, like, host them. We can say, there's a ticket for you at the gate. Enjoy the game. And that's the big reason why, you know, one of the big reasons why Kirby wants this game moved. And I completely understand it. And I understand, you know, there are fans that, you know, hate the idea of going away from the tradition. And, you know, Georgia fans, and I'm sure Florida fans as well, make a trip out of this game, you know, going down to the islands and having a chance to kind of hang out before that game on Saturday. But there is a big opportunity that would come with playing these games in Gainesville and Athens. And I think ultimately that's going to win out.
We're speaking with Jordan Hill of Dogs 247 here on the Wednesday edition of On the Line. What does Georgia have to do well on Saturday against Florida? 22.5-point favorites, probably one of the biggest spreads we've seen in this matchup in quite some time. Georgia, 22.5-point favorites against Florida on Saturday. What do they have to do well to get this win before they have Tennessee next week?
I think the biggest thing is just holding on to the football. I mean, the issues they face against Kent State and Missouri are just, you know, boiled down to turnovers, specifically turnovers early in that game. I think as long as they hold on to the ball, I think if they understand that they don't have to come out there and just, you know, wing it and throw the entire game, really rely on a run game that's been looking good of late. And again, it's a real weakness for Florida. I think as long as they do that and if they kind of contain explosive plays on defense, because in these games they've won, you know, Auburn, Missouri, there's been a few big plays along the way. But on the whole, Georgia's defense has been able to hold opponents in check. I think as long as those three things happen, Georgia should be in good shape, setting up for what may be the biggest home game in Sanford Stadium, and I don't know how long, as far as Tennessee coming to town next Saturday. A lot of anticipation about that game, but obviously Georgia's got to take care of a big rival first.
And Jordan, yesterday our question of the day was, what is your top five power rankings in the SEC as it stands right now coming into week nine? What's your top five as of right now in the SEC?
I would go probably Georgia, Tennessee, Alabama, probably LSU has been looking really good, and then I would say probably Kentucky after that, just going off the top of my head. To me right now, I mean, the top tier is Georgia, Tennessee, and Alabama. And, you know, I think that when we get to that game, you know, Tennessee is going to face a big test this weekend in the form of Kentucky. But, you know, that game very well could determine who makes the college football playoff. And obviously we'll probably have a long way in determining who is playing in Atlanta in December. But some really quality teams just really up and down the conference right now in the SEC. It's been a really fun season to follow.
He writes for Dogs 247. It's Jordan Hill. He joins us every single Wednesday, man. We appreciate you taking the time every single week talking some Georgia football, man. Let everybody know where they can keep up with you.
Absolutely. It's on Twitter at Jordan Davis Hill and also on Twitter at Dogs247 and then Dogs247.com. So got a very exciting matchup this weekend. Have a chance to go down to Jacksonville and get to see that game, and should have no shortage of storylines coming out of that one.
Well, have a safe trip down there, man. We will talk to you next week, all right?
Sounds great. Appreciate you guys.
That is Jordan Hill of Dogs 247 joining us here on the Wednesday edition of On the Line. We really do enjoy having him on, talking about Georgia and the Bulldogs as they have the Florida game in Jacksonville on Saturday. We got to get to our final break here in hour number one, 334-321-1390. We'd love for you to call in, be a part of the show. We'll wrap up hour number one when we come back.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app.
Wrapping up hour number one here on the Wednesday edition of On the Line, Jacob Goins, Carter Byrd with you on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Well, we've got our live event for this week here on ESPN 106.7. We call ourselves the Auburn Opelika sports leader because it's true. Friday, game one of the World Series, the Fall Classic, Philadelphia Phillies at the Houston Astros. We will have complete coverage of the World Series right here on ESPN 106.7. We are very excited to bring you that. Starting on Friday, it's game one, Phillies at Astros, starting at 6 o'clock. So right after the drive here on ESPN 106.7, tune in Friday night for game one of the World Series. So when you're bouncing around between AU 100 for Lee Scott football and Wings 94.3 for Auburn High School football, you got to come over here to ESPN 106.7 to listen to the World Series as well. So that is on Friday night. Then on Saturday, it's a busy day. We've got the game we were just talking about with Jordan Hill of Dogs 247. And again, we really appreciate him joining the program. Florida at Georgia starting at 2 o'clock. Broadcast time is 2 o'clock here on ESPN 106.7. Kickoff will be at 2:30. That will be the national ESPN broadcast of Florida and Georgia. So make sure you tune in for that. 2 o'clock on Saturday. Then it's game two of the World Series Saturday night. Phillies at Astros at 6 o'clock. Then on Sunday, we've got two NFL games. So while the World Series, while those teams are traveling, we've got two NFL games, some NFL action on Sunday. Cardinals at Vikings. That should be a good one at 11 a.m. And then, Carter, your team's getting some love here on the station. Commanders at the Colts, 3 o'clock on Sunday. Maybe they'll put on a show.
It's Sam Ehlinger time, man.
Sam Ehlinger, baby. Let's go.
Sam Ehlinger season.
Hook 'em, right? Hook 'em. Commanders and Colts, 3 o'clock here on Sunday. That's after Cardinals and Vikings at 11 a.m. Again, these are all broadcast times on ESPN. And then on Monday, game three of the World Series, Astros at the Phillies when the series shifts to Philadelphia. That will be at 6 o'clock as well. So that's all coming up here on ESPN 106.7 starting on Friday night. We're excited about the college football games, the NFL games, and of course being able to bring you the World Series. Later on next week, we'll have the rest of the World Series games. So again, just really, really excited to be able to bring you that here on ESPN 106.7. Also, high school sports going on Friday night. It is Wednesday, so it's time to start thinking about high school sports. Friday night, tonight is the last game of the regular season for Lee Scott and for Auburn High. Of course, here at Auburn Network, we've got our sister stations of AU100. Carter and I will be calling Lee Scott football for senior night. They have Edgewood. It's a non-region game. They are preparing for the playoffs. That'll be broadcast time, 6:30 kickoff at 7 on AU100. That's 100.3 FM. And then over on Wings 94.3, you can listen to Auburn High, their final game of the year as well. That'll be 6:30 kickoff at 7. Scott Bagwell, Rob Pate, and Jack Hutton. So we've got so much going on around the stations coming up this weekend for sports here on ESPN 106.7, Wings 94.3, and AU100. So it's an exciting time. High school football playoffs start next week. Lee Scott will have a bye week. They are region champs, so they will have a bye week, and then they will host the semifinal round. Auburn High will be obviously in the postseason. They are awaiting what they are going to do, but they've got four rounds of playoffs for AHSAA. AISA has three rounds, so it's an exciting time of sports going on here around the stations.
Yeah, it absolutely is, and we always have great live events each week, and this week feels like just another week of great events that you can tune in and listen to.
I mean, we get the World Series, man. That's pretty awesome. I think it's going to be a great series. Phillies and Astros. We'll see how it goes. I'm still trying to figure out who I want to win this thing, but look, we're going to talk about it later on in the week. Hour number one officially in the book. Stay tuned. We got a whole lot more coming up in hour number two.
Production. You are on the line, live on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader, online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app. To be on the line, call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. You are on the line with Jacob Goetz and Carter Bird.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Happy Wednesday. Hour number one officially in the books. You know what that means. Hour number two officially underway here on ESPN 106.7. On the line, the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. Jacob Goetz, Carter Bird with you here on ESPN 106.7, the Auburn Opelika sports leader. Well, if you missed any of hour number one, be sure to go and find the podcast. Just search On the Line wherever you get your podcast, or you can go to ESPNAU.com, click on the podcast center. You can find it all right there. Commercial free right after the show today. So be sure you go back and listen to the first hour if you missed any of it. We've talked a lot about the Auburn situation going on right now. Don't you worry. We're going to dive into that heavy here in hour number two. We also talked to Jordan Hill, our good buddy with Dogs 247. We talked to him about Georgia coming out of the bye week and what to expect as they have Florida this week down in Jacksonville. So that was a great conversation. We also got his thoughts on the Auburn situation because Jordan Hill used to be an Auburn beat writer. And so we got his thoughts on that as well. So it was a really good first hour. We've got a whole lot more coming up in this second hour. So if you missed any of it, be sure to go and find the podcast at ESPNAU.com. You can also, while you're there, get your picks in for the SEC Football Challenge. Make sure you get your picks in for that this week. Let's see, it'll close Friday night at midnight. So get your picks in. There's some pretty good games going on around the SEC: Arkansas, Auburn, Florida, Georgia, Missouri, South Carolina, Kentucky, Tennessee, Ole Miss, Texas A&M. So be sure to go and get your picks in for that, ESPNAU.com. Under the contest tab, you can try and get some, win some great prizes, right? So make sure you go and do that as well. But phone lines are open for all of hour number two. We'd love to hear from you. 334-321-1390. That number again, 334-321-1390 is the number to put you through to us. We'd love love to hear from you and what you have to say about the craziness that is going on with Auburn football right now. And at the end of the first hour, we were talking about live events and stuff. I forgot to mention the After the Game show, which is back this week because, of course, Auburn was on a bye. So, Carter, you obviously are with After the Game. So just want to make sure you get your love. After Auburn, Arkansas on Saturday, tune in right here on ESPN 106.7 for After the Game, brought to you by Urgent Care Clinic. Jack Hutton, Carter Bird, you guys do a great job. So just wanted to make sure you got your love, my friend.
Appreciate that. Appreciate that. And I know our good buddy Jack Hutton appreciates it as well.
And I'm sure he's listening in. He does most days. And I'm sure
he'll text us in the next 5 seconds if he is.
Yep, hopefully so. Or if he's on the stream, he's a little bit behind on that. But he'll text us. But we've got a whole lot to get into in the second hour. And again, we'd love for you to be a part of it as well. 334-321-1390. The report last night from Auburn Daily, the Sports Illustrated site, posted by a good friend of the show, Lindsey Crosby, source. Brian Harsin is telling players that want to redshirt that they must enter the transfer portal or quit the team. Coach Harsin is reportedly refusing to allow players to take a redshirt without a medical reason.
Okay, I don't think we've gotten into this aspect of it, but I want to get into it, and that is, if Brian Harsin is the head coach, and by all indications, by what he said in the media, he expects to be the head coach next year, correct? I mean, he expects this is, he's under contract, he hasn't been told he's being fired or anything.
A lot of the actions seem to be that he's planning for a future at Auburn.
Well, I would counter that and say, how does this make sense? You aren't recruiting well, you aren't bringing in talent to replace this. You bungled the portal last year. You just did not go get hardly anyone. And the players that you went and got, some of them worked out, like DJ James. Jason Jones is playing a lot. But, I mean, Zach Calzada, like, you didn't go get anybody in the offensive line room. You didn't. Your quarterbacks you went and got. I mean, you're playing Robbie Ashford now, but you kind of banked on Zach Calzada, and that didn't work. But how does this make any sense to start slashing the roster for a second year in a row if you're trying to coach here in 2023? What are you going to have, 60 scholarship players? Like, these are players that can help Auburn in the future. Zeke Walker played a lot as a freshman. Landon King has enormous talent. There's other guys coming. I mean, 80 Diamond's already off the roster on the website. I would assume that's the same way that we figured out that Zeke Walker was not on the team, or at least how the question was asked. If that's a trend there, like, these are young guys that have been here. Some have made an impact already. Landon King got you to daggum, kept you alive in the Iron Bowl, in a game that could have dramatically changed the trajectory of Brian Harsin's tenure.
That's the biggest what if in this Brian Harsin situation.
Why are you slashing the roster if you expect to be back next year? I don't get it. That doesn't make sense to me. Going off this report from Auburn Daily, I think it's foolish, and then I think the people that are making the argument that I think there's a very antiquated mindset by a lot of people because of the way that football was in the 80s and 90s and even 2000s, that, like, you had to be a part of the team, you had to be tough, you had to do all this stuff. Fair. But now, like, the player has agency that he's never had before. And there is an aspect of the player needs to look out for himself and protect himself. And that's what these kids were trying to do.
The mindset that is very, very popular is to look at a situation like this when guys on a team decide to transfer because they may not be, quote, getting their way, right? In the past, yes. And even now, this situation pops up. You see players that'll go to a team, go to a program, they don't get their way, and then they turn and run somewhere else. You see that happen in college football, college athletics. It does happen. And
that is, I don't think that applies to every transfer, and I don't think that applies to the ones that we're seeing right now.
Exactly. Is where I'm going with that, is It has happened in the past. That has been the mindset in the past because it was so difficult to leave a program before, and now it is pretty easy to do it with the transfer portal, but that's not what this is. That is not this.
You want to know an example of why I don't have any issue with these players who are barely getting snaps or just straight up not getting snaps in games? I don't have an issue with them requesting a redshirt. Do you remember what happened to Asa Martin at Auburn? Gus Malzahn and the staff accidentally played him 5 games
in a year
that they were trying to redshirt him and ruined a year of eligibility.
Yep, I remember that.
If a kid can protect himself, I have no issue with the kid protecting himself.
The issue here is the fact that guys like Landon King and other guys are not getting the reps.
I think this is another sign that Brian Harsin has lost his locker room.
The problem is that good guys, good players, good athletes, and good talent is on the bench not getting the reps, right? We've seen it already this year, and we were already lied to from the coaching staff talking about how good a wide receiver like Landon King or a guy like Camden Brown, right? We were told just how spectacular Camden Brown's
finally getting out there.
Finally. But that's the argument, and that's what I'm saying, is all fall long,
Landon King was an All-American in the spring.
Exactly.
Apparently.
And that's what I'm saying, is we were told that these guys were so good, making strides, they're going to be big impact players, but then it turns out that Brian Hartson's got a list of a set number of guys, and that's it. He's playing those guys, and that is it.
Make no mistake, this isn't over. These aren't going to be the only guys that leave the team, that go in the portal. There's going to be more. And I shudder to think about what this roster could look like down the home stretch if he's lost the locker room. And guys, you know what? This isn't for me. This isn't for me.
Right.
And it's like, this guy who's not going to be the coach in 2023, he's not looking out for me. I need to look out for myself. I don't blame the players for that. I don't blame the kids for that at all.
One important point that I do want to make, because I was tweeted at a little bit ago while we've been on the air, is from Greg Patterson, talking about guys like Landon King. And he made the point, and he says, Landon King can still return to Auburn if Brian Harsin isn't the coach next year and preserve his red shirt, right? If Brian Harsin gets fired, as we all expect, he will be fired before the portal opens, right? So that is a decent point, talking about if guys are leaving and then Harsin is fired, they can come back. I mean, when you enter the transfer portal, you are allowed to come back to the school as long as they want you, I guess. You're allowed to come back, right? And just because you enter it doesn't mean you can't ever go back to where you came from. So that is one good part of this. I just don't know if some of these guys are going to want to come back, because like you talked about in the first hour, somebody like Tank Bigsby, who's given Auburn 4 chances and they failed him all 4 times, why would you come back, right? I think a lot of these guys are going to fall in that boat. Let's get to the phone lines, though. 334-321-1390. Terry, you're on the line. Welcome in.
Hey, good afternoon, guys. How are y'all?
We're doing all right, Terry.
Terry, how are you?
Pretty good. Guys, I know you guys are tired of hearing this, and quite honestly, I'm tired of saying it, but while he's telling all these friends, he's trying to convince everybody that T.J. Finley had gotten better. T.J. Finley stinks. The guy's not going to get any better until he goes down a level. I'm sorry. That's just the way it is. He's a good kid, a great kid. The world could use more T.J. Finleys, but he's just not a quarterback at the Southeastern Conference level.
The numbers would bear that out. The fact that Robbie Ashford, with the depths of the floor and the height of the ceiling, and kind of you don't know what you're going to get play to play, kind of would point to that as well.
But the ceiling is higher overall.
Yes, agreed, 100%, and that's why he's in the game.
Well, let me ask you guys this: this makes me look like a genius, quite honestly, because I didn't like the guy when he was hired. I thought it was ridiculous. And I've always said he wasn't the best. He was just the first guy to say yes. Why, I don't know. Let him go back to the blue field. Whoever the next coach is, if you're considering guys like Stoops and Freeze and Sanders, why don't we hear the name Jeff Grimes? Now, I'm not as big on Jeff Grimes as some people are. He may be a great head coach. I don't know. But I know, Carter, you made some positive comments. I don't know the man. I don't know him at all. He may be a great head coach someday. But is Auburn in the position to hire a relatively, pretty much unexperienced head coach?
Well, I mean, I think, to be honest, Terry, I think it's going to come down to the interviews, who has the best plan, and then the factor that we have not seen in the past few hires at Auburn. Who can get Auburn aligned in this new age? From top to bottom, from the president all the way down to the lowest volunteer assistant around the football program, even out to the sides with your power brokers, your boosters, everybody needs to be pulling in the same direction. And I believe that Jeff Grimes could do that. I think that there are other people who can do that. But I think that it's going to come down to, because in order for Auburn to be successful in the age of the transfer portal and NIL, Auburn has to be aligned. Auburn has to be pulling in the same direction. And I think Auburn is getting really close to that. But the dead weight has to be cut. And the dead weight right now is dragging the ship down with it.
Let me see. I'm against Jeff Grimes as the head coach. Like I said, I reiterate, I don't know what kind of coach the man's going to be. I don't know. But I don't want to hear at a press conference, we're going to run the ball, stop the run, play great defense, and be sound in the kicking game. And I just think that's what Jeff Grimes will say.
And it might be. And we've made the comment that if Auburn...
And it will not work.
You know, we've made the comment. No, you're good. You're good. We've made the... You know, if Auburn goes the Jeff Grimes route, it's not going to be the big, sexy, flashy name, right? I mean, that's just a fact. Doesn't mean he wouldn't be a good coach here, but there would be a different response just by the name Jeff Grimes versus Lane Kiffin or Deion Sanders, right? Not even looking at the coach themselves. Just the name itself would be a different response, but I don't think that matters because it doesn't matter, right? You want to get the guy... Go ahead.
That's why I asked the question, is Auburn in that position to hire a guy like that? Or they need to go out and hire a proven head coach, not
Terry,
a guy that's learning on the job.
Terry, my counter to what you're saying about he's just automatically going to walk in and run the football and say we're going to play good defense and do it that way. One, his quarterback right now at Baylor is better than anything we've seen at Auburn in a few years.
Could that have something to do with the competition he's playing?
It certainly has an impact. I mean, you see what Bo Nix is doing as well. But also, I will keep in mind that Zach Wilson was his quarterback at BYU, and Zach Wilson put up numbers chucking the ball around the yard. I think he probably is more capable of fitting the scheme to the talent and figuring out what is best, most likely to succeed with the players on the roster. I don't think right now that's currently taking place.
Well, and Carter, if there's any players left on the roster after the thing y'all broke today.
Exactly. Yes.
Yeah, you're right about that.
That's that is a totally different thing that I think this is evidence as to why I was nervous about keeping Brian Harsin around for the rest of the season because there are ways if the writing is 100% on the wall. I'm not saying that he's doing this. There are ways if the writing's on the wall to kind of take everybody down with you.
All I'm going to say is where there's smoke, there's usually fire.
Yeah, I mean, I'll give you that. Yeah, we appreciate the call. That's Terry joining us here on the Line. One thing to his point about Jeff Grimes, if he is a guy that comes in and says, we're going to line up and run the football, I believe that Jeff Grimes, like you've talked about, would be a guy that would actually go out and recruit offensive linemen. So you know what?
He's going to build that team through the trenches, which is totally different than the last two coaches.
Which means you can line up and run the football. So maybe so.
I mean, he's got a running back that ran for 186 yards a couple weeks ago. Like,
imagine if Auburn had an offensive line that could...
For Tank Bigsby. Tank Bigsby would have led, if he had a good offensive line, he would have led the SEC in rushing the last 2 years.
100%. I think he's a top five running back in college football, but you don't get to see it.
Yeah.
Don't get to see it. And that's what's unfortunate. That is what would make Jeff Grimes good. Now,
when Tank Bigsby has a really, really strong NFL career, we're going to look back at, wow, Auburn wasted that talent because they did not give him an offensive line. And they did not put the skill position players around him. They did not develop a quarterback the way it needs to happen around a talent like that.
It's happened before, and it's happening right now at Auburn. To Terry's point before we get to the break, talking about if Auburn can afford to hire a guy like Jeff Grimes, who is an up-and-coming guy, to be a head coach, I think there's arguments both ways. And you hear that quite a bit. Can Auburn afford an up-and-coming coordinator, or does Auburn need to go out and get a proven head coach? I think you can make the argument both ways. I think there are multiple routes that we can get into, which we will later on. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about this report from Auburn Daily. It's not looking good, folks, and I think it's only going to get uglier before it gets better. 334-321-1390. We'd love for you to join the show as well. We'll get to our first break in hour number two. We'll come back and talk more Auburn football when we come back.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502.
Back inside the studio here at ESPN 106.7 on the Wednesday edition of On the Line. Jacob Goins, Carter Bird with you on ESPN 106.7. Continuing on with this crazy conversation that we're having right now about Auburn and the report from Auburn Daily talking about Brian Harsin telling players that want to redshirt that they must enter the transfer portal or quit the team. 334-321-1390. We'd love to get your thoughts on it. We've had some great callers today already. So kind of getting in back into what we were discussing before the break, you know, there's some conversations, obviously talking about the new or the next head coach, I should say, whoever that's going to be, and Terry bringing up the point, can Auburn afford to hire a guy that's up and coming that would be, quote, learning on the job, kind of learning as he goes in his first head coaching job? I think there's arguments both ways. And what's the right answer? I don't really know. I mean, I think you can make arguments both ways. What's your thought?
My thought about, I'm sorry, I was reading about the transfer portal. Give me
a, oh, okay. Okay.
What's the, what?
So basically talking about, continuing on with the coaching conversation of can Auburn afford to go with an up-and-comer, or do they need to go after a guy that's already had proven success?
I don't think it necessarily – it doesn't have to matter. I think that there is a level of – like we've said previously, there's a lot of buts with the candidates. Lane Kiffin, that's going to be a boatload of money. I'm not sure if Auburn's willing to pay – Hugh Freeze, plenty of baggage. Those guys are proven, yeah. But I think they are difficult. There are obstacles to bring them in. Deion Sanders, is he going to leave you in 2 years for FSU? Is he going to leave you in a year for FSU? Potentially. And that's a concern that people have, so there's a but there. I mean, everybody's got a but. What? Jeff Grimes's is... he hasn't been on a head coach. I think you need to find, it's all about fit with Auburn. Fit matters a heck of a lot more to me than making a splash. I think you've seen some splashes not pan out. Look at Tom Herman. That's a great example. He's the hottest G5 coach in the country, goes to Texas, fizzles out like that, all of a sudden he's gone. I mean, you've seen Willie Taggart at FSU, you saw that happen. Norvell struggled initially. Now you've got Cristobal Miami having a disastrous year. I mean, there are examples where stuff doesn't work out with the splashy hires. But the fit is what's working out better. Look at what Sam Pittman has done at Arkansas in his time there. They're a good program. I know some people are... giving them a hard time this year for being 4-3, but their schedule is unbelievably difficult, and they are the favorites in Auburn this weekend. That doesn't happen very often. You look at other. I think your fit is so important. Your alignment behind that fit is just as important, if not more important than winning a press conference or making a splashy hire. It's all about how the plan that is presented in interviews and how these people fit into Auburn. You want these people to embrace Auburn. Because you're also coming off... look, Brian Harsin, at the surface level, you could make an argument that he was should have been a good coach at Auburn and should have succeeded. He obviously didn't have his Southern ties, which was odd. But there may not be a worse fit in Auburn's football coaching history. At least not in football. If you want to talk about Tony Barbie, we can have that conversation.
We don't want to dip into that on this Wednesday. I don't think so.
But they're like, this is, you're coming off the worst fit your football program has ever had, assuming a change is made. I think you need to pendulum swing the other way and go find who is the best fit for Auburn.
I know that it hasn't worked out, and obviously it's not going to work out at the end. But I'm still okay with Auburn at least experimenting and going out and trying to find somebody different, right? Going outside of the realm and trying to find somebody that was different than a coach that Auburn had ever had before. Because at that point, what did you really have to lose? You found out what you had to lose, which was your program, your roster, the reputation of Auburn football right now. But I'm still okay with Auburn and how and what they were trying to do. And again, there are multiple ways where and things you could point at that would say Brian Harsin should have been successful here.
Yeah.
And obviously he's not.
I don't think he realized how much effort certain things in the SEC require compared to the Mountain West. And it took entirely too long for that to sink in and for that effort to start to show up. I mean, daggum, you didn't see him out on the recruiting trail a lot until the bye week, and then all of a sudden he's on social media posts everywhere, which was funny. Yeah. And some of the assistant coaches, kind of the more Boise coaches that he brought with him, well, some of them made their trips on the recruiting trail for the first time this past week. But look, that's why I think a guy like Jeff Grimes could succeed, because not only has he been at Auburn, he's been at Auburn and LSU. He's recruited in the SEC. He knows the time commitment. He knows the environment around Auburn. He can facilitate alignment. I think all of those things are what you're missing right now.
Auburn is one of those programs and one of those towns, one of those schools in the country where fit is so important. And that's why this was a questionable hire. LSU is another school like that. And that's why everybody has been questioning Brian Kelly being hired at LSU. There are certain places in the country for college football that you've got to have the right fit. And Auburn is one of those. They've got to go find somebody that fits the narrative for Auburn and this next head coach. We've got 30 more minutes here on the Wednesday edition of On the Line. Stay tuned. We got a whole lot more coming up.
You are on the line with Jacob Goetz and Carter Bird on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
30 more minutes here on the Wednesday edition of On the Line, the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. Jacob Goetz, Carter Bird with you here in the studio at ESPN 106.7. Continuing on with this conversation, because look, this is some news that came out last night that nobody really saw coming. It's a weird break of news that, again, we just didn't know.
The reaction by members of the Auburn beat has been fascinating.
Because, I think this the reaction of everybody has been interesting.
Well, I think the majority of the reaction to me seems to be, this is another reason why we need to move on, but there are some people stuck in their ways about the way that football should be played and everything. But the Auburn beat, in a vacuum, I understand what they're saying. If a coach asks a player to play and he says no, that he wants to redshirt, then yes. Yes, there should be something like this. Well, quit or transfer. That's not what's happened all year with these guys. They aren't playing. Don't sit here and tell me they need him now. You haven't played Landon King since what, the Penn State game?
He has one catch for 24 yards this year.
You played Zeke Walker what, in the Georgia game, and that was it? Like, these are players that can make an impact in the future. And it feels petty, feels spiteful, what's happening to me. And I could be wrong, I could be reading that wrong. But You can't look at these instances in a vacuum. The vacuum point of view, I agree with. The coach says, hey, we need you to play on Saturday. We need you out there. You can help us win. Sure. But when you take into the context of they aren't using these players, and the players are looking out for themselves. Because right now, and this is what I've been worried about all year, when you've kept a coach that everybody sees the writing on the wall that he's not going to be the coach next year, there is a he has nothing to lose right now, because he's not going to be the coach. And so, I mean, and you're not playing these guys. Nobody is looking out for the players right now, because I don't think he has the support of his locker room anymore. I don't. And I know that there are some in the locker room that will come out and give you the, he's my coach and this is my coach and I got my coach's back.
But one thing to go against that, and it's a point you made on Twitter last night, was in Landon King's big message that he posted on Twitter, who was the coach that he referenced?
He thanked Gus Malzahn, and did. It's a long message too, and does not mention Brian Harsin once.
Didn't mention a single coach on this current staff.
And I had a tweet about that. You know who liked that tweet earlier today? D. Davis's mom. I noticed that, and I was like, huh,
really?
Interesting. I wonder if there's similar feelings there.
But doesn't that, and I think that's a good point, because he's not the only one. We've seen other guys leave this program and
I truly don't believe the environment is good in that locker room right now.
I agree. And I think that shows where this program is right now. But I think it's important for us to try and look at this from the Brian Harsin perspective, right? I think it's important. I don't think we do that enough sometimes. So I think we should try to do that. Brian Harsin has the message of, like, sort of what you were just talking about. He goes to a guy and he says, look, I know you haven't played a whole lot this year. I know you're looking to redshirt to save this year, but we've got Arkansas on Saturday. We need you to be on the field. I know that burns your redshirt or whatever. We need you to play. And the guy tells you no. I understand why Harsin would say, okay, well then you got to go, right? You can understand, but what you're saying is the point.
Say, okay, coach, tell me what the plan is.
Exactly.
Tell me what the plan is, because you haven't used me all year. You haven't used me all year. Like, why? What's different about Saturday?
And I think a lot of the response from the players wanting to redshirt and not wanting to play is because of how the year's going so far. And I don't know if, look, I don't know if the players believe this team can win football games. I don't know.
Another thing I want to mention here is, if we are going to be fine with the idea that, okay, anybody that wants to redshirt because they aren't getting their playing time, wants to protect their eligibility, they're off the team, kick them off the team, squeeze them out, make them transfer. Whoever's the coach in 2023, if it's a new coach, as a fan base, if we're going to accept what's happening right now, you better treat 2023 as a true year zero for that new coach. Results don't matter, because he's going to have a decimated roster. Decimated.
And he's going to have to rebuild it literally from the ground up. Recruiting, transfer portal, however you can get
it. 2023 and maybe 2024 should not be held against this new coach if we're going to go down the path that we're going down right now.
But then the question becomes, does that happen?
No, because you would get into a point where in the fall of 2023, when things start turning south, people start criticizing the coach. And it's like, well, we were fine last year when the roster was getting torn to shreds, and we all sided with, that's the right way to do it, that's the old school way, yada, yada, whatever.
And if you remember, that same argument was made in year one under Brian Harsin because of how Gus Malzahn left the recruiting. Right? Malzahn left recruiting in a horrible spot, and people were, that argument came up again, is like, well, why does Harsin not have anybody? Well, look at where Malzahn left it. Now, obviously, we know nothing has changed in 2 years, but...
Well, recruiting got worse.
Exactly. But it's interesting that these same conversations just keeps cycling through. It's a snowball effect that just keeps coming back around. It just comes in a big circle. That's all it is a big circle. And so, I mean, it's just frustrating, right? It's frustrating to see the same thing over and over and over again.
I just think it's when it feels like the locker room is in a bad spot, like it is, or like I think it is, when you have a coach who's not going to be here in 2023, like we all believe he's not going to be here in 2023, I have a really hard time blaming the kids for doing a better job protecting themselves and taking action to protect themselves than the university and the athletic department. I have a hard time with that. I really do.
And I mean, yeah. I mean, you can't blame a guy if he's not being played. He has a chance to save his eligibility year, right? And
Landon King, I think, didn't he put out an initial statement saying, look, he's trying to protect his eligibility for Auburn, and the plan was to come back? Or
it wouldn't surprise me.
Maybe I'm mistaken there. But I truly believe Landon King's plan was to come back this next year, save this year of eligibility that was being wasted. And it's especially infuriating when the last time you saw him on the field, he made the best catch anybody on the team's made all year long.
But the good thing is he does still have that option, right? It's sort of what we talked about earlier.
These guys can't join the portal until December 5th, so they will still be on campus. The new coach will, in theory, still have a chance to bring these guys back.
And that's going to be so
it's
tough.
Be vital.
It's going to be incredibly important, but it's also going to be incredibly tough because, the guy that I continue to go back to is Tank Bigsby. How do you go to a guy like Tank Bigsby who more than likely will be considering transferring, if not transferring altogether in
Tank
this
Bigsby's
offseason?
Tank Bigsby's either going to be gone to the NFL or he's going to have a heck of a year at Ohio State. Or Georgia, if you want to make it worse, or Georgia.
Man, that would be brutal. But again, how does the new coach, if there is a new coach, how do you go to a guy like Tank Bigsby, sit him down and say, look, man, I know you've been here for a long time, and I know you haven't gotten what you needed out of this program, but I'm asking you to come back and give me a chance.
The best sales pitch of all time.
There'd have to be a lot of NIL money there, I think. And that's where, now think about it this way, that's what a new head coach will be able to do and use to his advantage because Auburn NIL is going in the right direction.
There would almost need to be guarantees that, hey, we're going to get X number of high school and junior college offensive linemen and X number of transfer offensive linemen, and we're going to rebuild this thing. We're going to strip this thing down to the studs and rebuild it. And we're basically going to throw bodies at the problem on the offensive line until we find five that can make holes for you and you can have the season that you deserve, buddy.
And the problem's going to be, again, not just with Tank Bigsby, but every single player, because at the end of the year, if a new coach is brought in, you're going to have to sell everybody on your team to come back. And you're going to have to sit them down, look them in the eye, and say, please give us a chance. Believe in us, when they were told that 2 years ago by a coaching staff, and they got failed. 334-321-1390. Let's head to the phone lines. Dak, you're on the line. Welcome in.
Hey, guys. How's everybody doing today?
We're doing all right, man. What you got for us?
Hey, good deal. Yeah, I just want to touch on this Landon King deal for a second. For a year now, I've listened to people call in and just can't figure out why he's not playing. But let's put this in perspective. He's not had one coach, not two coaches, but he's had three wide receiver coaches, and all three of them has put him in the same place. And I've been at practices many times, and I know everybody wants to talk about the catch against Alabama, but you got to look at the big picture. He had five total catches for 58 yards. All right. If you go back and you break down the film and you look at the Penn State game,
okay,
you look at Arkansas game, and you look at the Texas A&M game, Bo Nix threw him out of those three games. Threw him at least two corner routes both games, all three games. And I've seen guys like that, that could run, could catch, but could not change direction, could not get their body in a position to catch the football. And I think if you had Bo Nix and you asked him about this, he would say the same thing. I think the catch against Alabama was luck. He stuck his one hand out and stuck in a glove. And I'm not trying to knock him. You know, I think he's got a lot of ability. But you go back in this Penn State game this year, the one catch he had. Receivers from Georgia and Alabama would have caught that football over their shoulder and kept running down the sideline because there was no need for him to jump for that ball.
There absolutely was. There absolutely was a reason. It was high. He had to contort his body around the other way. He jumped and he made a great catch. He's 6'6".
Look, I've coached receivers at every level for 30 years. That ball should have been caught over his shoulder and running down the sideline. It was a perfectly thrown ball. Perfectly thrown ball. And if I was grading him in the meeting room, that's the way I would see it. And just go back and watch the film from last year. I don't want to knock the kid. I don't. But he's had three receivers coaches. And apparently all three of them think the same.
Well, I mean, look, I think you could definitely make the argument, and I hear what you're saying, that development has been an issue, whether it's a coaching thing or it's a Landon King thing. And I think there's just been a problem with the wide receiver room as a whole, because coming into this year, we were looking and begging for Auburn to go out and get wide receivers, and they just haven't done it. And you get a guy like Landon King, who coming into this year and now throughout this season, he's got one catch for 24 yards, the Penn State catch you're referring to. And that's it. Right. And so is that – and you bring up an interesting thing. Is it the coaching? Is it the three different wide receivers coaches? Or is it Landon King not getting better? You could go both ways. I just don't truly know what it is.
Yeah, yeah. And, there's – it seems like the talk of Deion and some of these others are picking up all of a sudden again. I don't know what's going on all of a sudden to get this going again, but – you know, we got to, whoever the coach is, you know, I go back to the philosophy that Coach Dye always preached. Okay, this is a different time as far as coaching.
Mm-hmm.
But recruiting is the same. And you have to get at least 50% of the best players in Alabama, and you have to get 50% of the best players in Georgia. If you don't do that, it doesn't matter who's coaching.
Yeah, well, you got to get, 50% high, I think, but you got to go out
especially
and get.
Especially with the.
That's what it used to be.
It's what it
for
used
the last
to be.
30 years. That's what it was before the last 2 or 3 years.
So, Dak.
And it's changed.
Dak, I do have one question about Landon King. He's still super young. Last year, you're citing the film. Last year, he was an 18-year-old.
Right.
He's an 18-year-old.
You're
he has time
right.
to develop, does he not? I think he's a valuable asset.
Are you still there? We still got you, Dak? We may have lost you. We appreciate the call, though. We got to get to a break. We've got one caller on the other side. We appreciate Dak calling in. Again, we may have lost you there at the end, but we do appreciate you calling in. We got to get to our final break. We got one more phone call. We will wrap up this Wednesday edition of On the Line.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7, online at ESPNAU.com, or on the ESPN 106.7 app.
Wrapping up the Wednesday edition of On the Line, Jacob Goins, Carter Bird with you on ESPN 106.7. We got one more phone call to get to. We got to make it quick as we have just a few more minutes. JR, you're on the line. Welcome in.
Hey, guys.
Hey, how are you, man?
Hey, I've called in here multiple times. I'm a student up here at Auburn and stuff, and I've talked to y'all before. I've got
okay.
a lot of good friends on the team. And I got three quick points for you. First one, what would y'all think of Matt Rhule as a head coach here?
I've mentioned his name a couple times. I think he should be getting consideration, in my opinion. I think he obviously he's got a good track record of building programs up. I think he should at least get some consideration.
I agree. I think that he has a track record for building very strong programs. If you take away his year one at Temple and his year one at Baylor, which he inherited really bad situations at Baylor, He inherited one of the worst situations we've ever seen. He's 20 games over 500. He's built two solid programs, and I think he's getting stuck with the Panthers' tenure, which I don't think affects his college tenure at all. And I think that he's getting too dismissed too quickly.
Yeah, I agree with that. And one more thing, or two more things, actually. I'm pretty good friends with Lando, actually.
Okay.
I don't think he's getting squeezed out, to be fair. And that's just my personal opinion. Mm-hmm. And I talked to him last night. Don't think he's getting squeezed out. I think it's more so he was actually banged up during the season. And I think he sees what's going on at the program, and I think he's just trying to better himself. And I have no problem with that.
I'm with you.
You know. And then another thing is, you know, we talk about how many players we've lost. How many of those have made an impact outside of DJ Williams or Bo Nix? I mean, you talk about the wide receiver room. What has Kobe Hudson done at UCF besides having two touchdowns, 2-3 weeks ago?
I mean, look, hey, I'm not saying that, but you have to build depth on a roster. And if you have another 20 transfers out, you're going to have 50, 60 scholarship players in 2023, and you can't build a program off that.
Yeah, I agree with that, too. I'm just saying, though, we're quick to point the finger and stuff the horse, which it could be. Granted, it could be him, and it could not be. But I'm just saying, I'm just talking about outside of Bo Nix and DJ Williams at Arizona. A lot of these guys who have transferred, who are highly talented guys, haven't done anything at all.
Well, I mean, you've got a starting offensive lineman at Kentucky. We know that
Sean Shivers running back at Indiana.
He's starting at Indiana. You've got guys who are playing roles at other places. But I mean, that's part of the reason why they transferred out, which fair, but. Also, not that many guys who've transferred in have made an impact.
Yeah, I agree with that, too.
Yeah, well, hey, man, we're up against it. We appreciate you calling in. We got to get out of here. We got about a minute before we are off the air, before the drive comes in from 4 to 6. But, look, we appreciate everybody calling in today. It's been a really, really good show. Good to hear from JR, Dak. We've had some great callers today. Look, man, it's just not a good look right now. And to kind of wrap up what JR was talking about guys that have transferred out not making huge impacts, maybe you can make that argument, but it's also just not good for Auburn to have 20 guys transfer out.
Exactly. Depth is key, and if you've got 50 scholarship guys next year, you're not going to win any conference games. You're really not. And also, I mean, it's easy to dismiss the transfers out, but I mean, that happens everywhere. But let's keep in mind, Bo Nix right now has like the fifth best odds to win the Heisman Trophy.
You could say he's a dark horse.
Dear God, I hate you.
You could say it. You could definitely say it. Look, hey, we are just about out of time. But before we are, I want to make a quick announcement. Friday, we're having a very, very special guest here in the studio. Jeff Pearlman will be joining us live from the studio to start the show on Friday. He just wrote the brand new book. It's called The Last Folk Hero, The Life and Myth of Bo Jackson. He will be in studio on Friday discussing this new book, talking about Bo Jackson and his whole process of writing it. We are very, very excited to have him on. Jeff Pearlman will be joining us in studio to start the show on Friday. But we are out of time today. Come back tomorrow, 2 to 4, right here on ESPN 106.7. Stay safe. I'll talk to you later.